Hi everyone, welcome to Torah Dimacha Parsha. Today we're up to Parsha Bechukosai. This week's Parsha is very different from the rest of the Sefer. We're in the last Parsha of Sefer Vayikra. And the rest of the Sefer is riding high. We said that according to the portrait of David Tzvi Hoffman, it's about Kedusha, about our relationship with Hashem. First in the beginning, about Kedusha the Mishkan, how to come close to Hashem in that intense place, with all the Karbanot and the laws of Tuma V'Tahara. And then in the second half of the Sefer, Kedusha the Am V'Aretz, how to bring that into our lives outside of the Mishkan, first in our relationships with other people, and then in our time and in our place and our environment. And now Parshas Bechukosai is filled with the klalot, meaning it's the tochacha, what's going to happen if we don't keep the mitzvot. And so the Sefer seems to end on this downer, a very negative tone. And what we want to understand is, how does this fit at the end of the Sefer? What's it adding to the whole theme of Kedusha? So this is actually the first of two parshot that we have in the Torah that deal with the Tochacha. The first one is over here, and the Ramban says this one is really parallel to Churban Bayis Rishon. The second one comes up in Parshas Ki Tavo, where we also have the Tochacha again, and the Ramban says that one's connected Churban Bayis Sheni. But to me, actually, when you read through Parshas Bechukosai, even though it's frightening when you look at the psukim and the terrible things that are going to befall Klal Yisrael if they don't keep the mitzvot, to me there's almost a nechama, meaning Hashem said this is going to happen, and some of the things that we read about in the parsha over here, we've actually seen them happen to Klal Yisrael. We've been through Gehenim Klal Yisrael in the Holocaust and the Crusades, through different things that Bnei Yisrael have experienced throughout the generations, and in our own experience, even this year, we've been through so much torture in Klal Yisrael, and Hashem said this was going to happen, and so it's not a question of where's Hashem, how could this happen, where is he? Hashem's right here. Hashem told us that if we don't listen to him, this is what's going to happen. So when we read these psukim, to me it's almost a nechama of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us, and everything that he promised is actually occurring. But if we keep the mitzvot, so then we'll have that bracha that he tells us as well. So when we open up the parsha, so the parsha begins actually with the bracha, and then it gets into the klalot, and the bracha take up a very tiny portion of the parsha, and the klalot take up a very big portion of the parsha, and are many, many psukim. And so it seems disproportionate. But when you actually look closer at the psukim, the tone given over is different. Even though quantitatively the brachot take up less, it's clear that this is what Hashem wants to give us. It's preceded by only one condition. You walk in my chukim, you keep my mitzvot, you do them. So then there's three brachot, and each one is preceded by the word v'natati. Hashem's going to give us tremendous bracha in our produce, in our land. We're going to be prosper financially and economically. V'natati, there's going to be shalom and shava. There's going to be security and peace with everyone around us. And then finally, v'natati in Pasuk Yud Aleph is the hashras hashchina and kiras elokim, and that closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so first of all, the progression goes from a more physical bracha to more spiritual bracha. And it's just, there's one condition, just keep the mitzvot. And then he wants to shower Klal Yisrael with bracha, v'natati, v'natati, v'natati. As opposed to when you get up to the klalot, so one of the words that keeps repeating over there is im. Each bracha, each klal, I'm sorry, is preceded by the word im. If you still don't listen to me, v'im ad ila lo tishmili, v'im, 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 each klal, and it goes in the same progression from physical klala to more spiritual klala. First there's klala by the land, and then by the Yoshe Aris, there's no peace, and then goes on to Churban and Galus finally, and the distance from the Shechina, and so it goes from a more physical klala to more spiritual klala, but each one is preceded by im, meaning if you're still not listening to me, meaning Hashem doesn't want to give us the klala, he's watching, are we fixing our ways? Are we doing tshuva? Oh, you still didn't? Okay, so he's going to have to give us the next step in the klala. So that's one of the words that's repeated again and again by the Klalos'im. And the Rambam clarifies for us that the brachot and klalot are not about reward and punishment. The Gemara tells us, Schar mitzvah b'hai amalika, that there's actually no reward for our mitzvahs in this world. Rewards in the next world are the that's where the real schar is. In this world, though, there's bracha, and that's what we see in this week's parsha. Bracha is not reward. What's bracha? The Rambam clarifies that bracha is actually an opportunity to do more mitzvahs, meaning if you do the mitzvah, so then you prosper, physically prosper, and even spiritually prosper. And when you're healthy and financially things are working out, so then you have more energy, so then you're able to actually do more mitzvahs. You're able to be machnas more orchem. You're able to give more. You have more strength to help other people. And so the more bracha a person has, the actually it's not the reward for the mitzvot, but it's an opportunity and actually a responsibility to do more mitzvah. And you do more mitzvah, so then that's what actually gives us the reward in the next world, in Olam Haba. So what's this doing though in Sefer VaYikra? It doesn't seem to fit in with the rest of the Sefer. So first on, in terms of where it's placed in the Sefer, it has to do with the Kiddushat HaMakom section, which began in last week's Parsha of Behar, when it's talking about Shemitah and Yovel. And over here, one of the Psukim tells us is if you... The as tirtzah aretz that we're going to be kicked out of Eretz Yisrael if we don't keep the mitzvahs, and then the land will be able to rest. And Chazal tells and Rashi quotes that it's the 7 years that we were kicked out of Eretz Yisrael and we're in Galus Bavel exactly connected the 70 cycles of Shemitah that Bnei Yisrael didn't keep. And so it's part of this Kedushas Makom section that we spoke about with Shemitah and Yovel, meaning you don't keep Shemitah. So now the land will be able to rest. We're going to be kicked out, and the land will have all of that time to rest because we won't be here, unfortunately. So that's how it fits in Kedushat Makom. But in terms of how it fits into the Sefer as a whole, so another one of the phrases that keeps coming up over here in the Klala section is Im Tachui Mi Bekari. And that word Bekari, and it keeps coming up in different places and phrases, but Bekari is the word that keeps repeating. What does that word Bekari mean? Bekari means one of the explanations of Kari is Mikra, and Rabbi Yerucham Lubavitch, the Mashgiach in Mir in Poland, explains that the relationship with Hashem over here is not that a person is not keeping mitzvot at all. Sometimes a person could be following the ways of Hashem. They could be davening, they could be even keeping halachos, they could be doing different things that the Shulchan Aruch tells us to do. But they're doing it bekeri. Bekeri means by chance, like it worked out for me today, it was convenient for me today, I was in the mood today. So I kept it, so I did it, I wore that, I davened, I kept Shabbos today. So Rabbi Yerucham Lubavitch explains, your relationship with Hashem is Bekari, that's not a relationship. A relationship has to be strong and stable, and our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only stable relationship that we have for our entire life. Every other relationship, so with people, we're here only Mev Eshem and more, hopefully. But people are, we're finite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one that we can rely on. Lanetzach Netzachim, forever, through every situation and anything that we ever need to go through. Hashem's the only one that is with us no matter what, all the time, in any place. And our relationship with him has to be so strong that it's above chance. It's not just when it's the cool thing to do, or that's what everyone else is doing, or I'm not in the mood today. So in a marriage relationship, if someone only checks in with their spouse when they're in the mood, or comes home when they have nothing better to do, or So that's not a strong relationship. So in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem tells us, you're going to walk with me, Bekeri. You're going to keep Shabbos when you're in the mood. You'll dive into me. You'll talk to me when you have strength and when other people are doing it. So then you'll learn Torah when you're in the mood to watch your tongue. So then you'll do it. But if you're not in the mood, so then you won't. She says, that's how you're going to relate to me. Bekeri. So then I'm going to walk with you, Bekeri, too. So then when I'm in the mood, I'll help you out. When I'm in the mood, I'll protect you. That's a scary thing. Our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu has to be much stronger than that. And so the Rabbi Yeruchim of Avos describes how this is the end of Sefer Vayikra, because this is almost the final piece to the Kedusha relationship that Sefer Vayikra describes. It begins actually with Vayikra El Moshe, and Rashi says Vayikra is without the Aleph, and that we didn't get into it then, but we learn from that first Rashi how the definition of Kedusha is actually Chiba, Rashi mentions over there, hints to it. And Vayikar, it's the beginning of Vayikra, and over here it's the end. A real relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to be above chance, above just happenstance and convenience and emotions. It has to be something that's day in, day out. That obviously sometimes I'm more in the mood to dive in, sometimes less in the mood. But in a strong and stable relationship, you check in, you talk, even if you're not in the mood. And so the final piece in our Kedusha relationship is that Hashem, even when I'm not in the mood, like, I'm with you. I don't just do it, Bekeri. I don't just have a relationship with you when I'm in the mood. Sometimes I'm in the mood, and when I am, I'm grateful. But when I'm not in the mood, I'm still in it. Like, then I'm graceful. Then I keep with it. And that's the final piece over here with the klal. Except that there's one more perek, and that's the final finale of Sefer Vayikra. The last perek of Sefer Vayikra almost seems anticlimactic, and it's actually referred to as Parshat Erchin. The whole Masechet Erchin is based on, it starts on this topic of Parshas Erchin. The perek Chavzayin is about Erech means values, and it basically gives the values of different things, of a field, of an animal, a house, a man, a woman, a child, a baby, an older person. Everything is the value, the monetary value of all those things are determined. So, and that's what it is, this long list of monetary values. So what is this parsha? So, and why is this the end of Sefer Vayikra, the final end of Sefer Vayikra? So the klalot are the end of the second half of Sefer Vayikra, and Parshas Erchin is actually the end of the whole Sefer, and we're going to see it's actually a perfect conclusion to both halves of the Sefer. And there's different explanations as to why this is the end. Rav Neger says it's a sword, there's a Kabbalistic reason. Rav Hirsch says actually over here, the whole Sefer Vayikra is about how to reach Kedusha, and Kedusha is not optional. Kedusha is something that we're chayav to reach. Kedoshim tihiyeh, ki kedoshim yeshem lekichem. And now at the end, we have optional mitzvot. Parshat Erchin is about taking the monetary value of those things that can't be put onto the Mizbeach and donating the monetary value of the house, of myself, of this animal that's not kosher maybe, so I can't put it on the Mizbeach, but I could donate the monetary value of this thing and donate it to the Mikdash. So these are the optional mitzvot of Chesed, and that's the end of Sefer Vayikra because it's almost higher. And the Sfarna has something very similar. Rabbi Liebtag actually says that it's very interesting. If you notice, the bookends of Sefer Vayikra focus on the not just the optional contributions, but also the individual contributions, meaning the opening of Sefer Vayikra talks about the Karban Nedava, the voluntary Karban. And over here also, it's voluntary. Someone doesn't have to donate these things. It's extra. If I want to donate this thing, so you could donate the monetary value of yourself or of your house or your field, That doesn't fit on the Mizbeach. Or if we don't have human karbanis, so you donate the monetary value of it to the Beis HaMikdash. That's voluntary and it's individual. Why is that? Because the center of Sefer VaYikra is about the community, is about Kadoshim Tihiyu, had become Kadosh, Daber Kol Adat B'nei Yisrael in the Tzibor, meaning you can't become holy by closing yourself up in a room, or meditating on a mountain, or closing, you know, being in your own bubble. There's a time and a place for Hispodidus, but the Mefarshim over there speak about how Kedushas dafka b'kol adat b'nei Yisrael, it's up at the opening of Perek Yutet, because the medium through which we reach Kedusha is through the whole community, meaning by learning how to navigate all those interpersonal relationships and how to get along with people and your family members and your and in a marriage and siblings and in-laws and parents and children and all of the different dynamics that come up with neighbors and friends. And that's Kedusha, when you learn how to navigate all those things and not talk Lashon Hara and not hold a grudge and not feel that hatred in your heart and to overcome all those things, that's a Kaddish person. And so Kedusha is in the community, and that's one of the big themes of Sefer VaYikra. But that's not to take away from the importance of the individual. And so the book ends of Sefer VaYikra focus on the individual karban at the beginning, the individual voluntary karban of one person, and at the end now Parshas Erchin is also the individual voluntary contributions of one person. And so those are the bookends. We'll end off with Rav David Tzvi Hafman, who's a poet we've been following the whole time. He's the one that gave us that outline, really, of the first half being Kedusha the Mishkan, the second half Kedusha the Amba Aretz. And the Rav David Tzvi Hafman explains, why do we conclude Sefer VaYikra with Parshas Erchin? So he says, after we reached such a high level of Kedusha in the first half and came so close to Hashem through the Mishkan and all the Karbanos and all the different modes of connecting to Hashem, each Karban and all the different parts of the first half. And then we bring it into our life outside the Mishkan in the second half. So I left the Mishkan, now I'm outside of the Mishkan. So the end of Sefer VaYikra is when we take all of our possessions from our life outside the Mishkan, my fields, my house, my animal, myself, and Hashem, I say, I want to come so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to take all of those things from outside the Mishkan, and I'm bringing them back to the Mishkan. Hashem, I want to dedicate my life to you. I want to donate all these things to you, Hashem. That's the conclusion of Sefer VaYikra, and that's what Parshas Erchin is. So, Be'ezrat Hashem, we shall all in our own ways be zocha to reach the high levels that Sefer VaYikra talks about. We should feel the Kiras Elokim, come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every aspect of our life, in the Mishkan, outside of the Mishkan, in all of our relationships, in all times and stages of our life, in our environment, in our place. We should be zocha to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just in the Mishkan. We should be zocha to see the third base of Mikdash, and all together come over there to see that final Geula, b'mehirah b'yameinu. Wishing you a beautiful Shabbos and all the best.